Today we enter into the mitzvah of Sefer Shmos. Sefer which has many, many mitzvahs. Sefer which tells us, teaches us Matan Torah. And the first of the mitzvahs in this Sefer of Shmos is HaChodesh HaZelachim, Reish Chodeshim. Nisan, month of Nisan, is the first of the months of the year in the calendar of Torah. We count our calendar, we live by Chodesh HaLabona, by the moon months, and not by Chodesh Chan, not by the sun. And HaChodesh HaZelachim is the mitzvah which contains in it the deen and the law that a chodesh is determined by the besdin. Besdin is the one who sets up when the chodesh is to be. It was done by witnesses who saw that the new moon is appearing, and they would come to the besdin that permitted even to be mechalal Shabbos for that purpose. And they would come to the Besdin would listen to that Eidus, and upon the basis of that Eidus, the Besdin would declare that the new Chedesh had started through a whole process whereby they said, Mekudesh HaChedesh Mekudesh, and Klal Yisrael, those of Klal Yisrael who were present at the time, would also participate and answer, Mekudesh Mekudesh. When this is impossible, as in our day, when there is no Besdin in Klal Yisroel, Besdin means those who reach back to the smiche of Moshe Rabbeinu to Yehoshua, and Yehoshua to those after him, and so it went on until Boklo HaSmicha B'Yisroel, that this continuity no longer existed. So we have today no Besdin Shel Smuchi, who have the power and the authority of smicha. And therefore, all deen in Israel that call for a besdin cannot be performed at the present time. The question is, so how do you have deen of momenus? How do you have a court case of chayav alidah momenah? You come and you ask for money. He owes me money. You prove it. For that, you also need a besdin. And you don't have a besdin. For that, the Gemara says that the original Besdin, appointed down through the ages, Shlifasai de Kamoi, that we without smicha shall perform for them as if we were their shluchim. And that was done only in certain instances, things that happen daily, milsa d'shchicha, but such things that are not a daily occurrence, for that there was no such appointment. What created the power of Besdin for Kiddush HaKedesh? It became a calendar Kiddush HaKedesh. And one of the last of the Smuchim, Rabbi Hillel, set that up, realizing that Smicha would become Bokel. So he set up a calendar for all ages to come until Besdin would again be renewed, and we would then go back to the Kaddish HaKedesh of Yehoriyo, through witnesses who come and testify that they have seen the new moon. But until that time, we live on the basis of this calendar, which was set up by a Somuch. Had there not been a Somuch, the calendar also would have been worthless. This is the mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZelachim Rosh Chodeshim. In that, in other words, it's contained the chiyuv and the mitzvah of creating the Chodesh through the Besdin. The reason for such a mitzvah is very simple to understand, because all of the chodoshim, all of the yomim tovim of Klal Yisroel depend on the date of the chodesh. So you must be able to set up proper chodesh in order to be able to observe all these yomim tovim. Shomer, Makipuri, 10 days in a month, Sukkot, the 15th day, Pesach at a certain time, Shavuot at a certain time. If we don't have the Chodesh properly set up, we can't properly observe the mitzvahs bound up with the Yom Tovim, and you would have the summer Yom Tov taking place in the winter time, and the winter Yom Tov to take place in the summer time. So all these things have to be properly taken care of, and you need therefore this Kiddush, this mitzvah of Kiddush HaKadosh. Within it is contained also not only Kiddush HaKadosh, but Iber HaShonah, the leap year. And as you know, with us, the leap year means an extra month, an Ador Sheni. And there are laws involved in that, when you make an Ador Sheni, and when you don't make an Ador Sheni. That's Ibur Shonim. So you have Kiddush Chodoshim and Ibur Shonim, all that is contained in this mitzvah. There are a number of things that should be of interest to us in the background of the mitzvah. The Torah says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. The Chodesh is yours. And the Sephardim points out a very interesting thing. Hazman Nosum B'Yetchem. Time is given over to you. You are master over time. Lasis Bei Kitzenchem. To do with time as you wish. You can destroy yourself if you don't use time properly, and you can build yourself if you use time properly. This is also according to the formula contained in this mitzvah. Kiddush HaKadosh means that we determine the Kadosh. We are masters over time. Time is not a master over us. And it depends on how we live our lives. Sometimes we live our lives in such manner that time is master over us. But sometimes we resist it to live a life where we are masters over time. We determine the essence and the value of living. And then we are the masters of time. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Hazman Mosur B'Yetchem. Time, the essence of time, is given to you. You are to be a master over it. There's another interesting thing to remember, that we live our system of time in accordance with the months of the moon rather than with the months of the sun. The sun is continually there. There's no time when the sun is not there. Daily it repeats itself. Sundown and sunrise, sundown and sunrise. The moon is called Chidush Halakon. There's a time when she disappears, and then she reappears and gradually grows and grows and grows. This is also what men are to live, how a person is to live his life. It shouldn't become matter of fact. What happened yesterday is going to happen tomorrow, and this is life. Life has to have within it rejuvenation. It has to be renewed. It has to create a desire to grow, not to become accustomed to the past, but everything has to live all over again, from anew. This is Chodshei Halavon. And then there's another thing in Chodshei Halavon, very, very important. The moon is a black planet. Sun is the source of light itself. The purpose of the moon is to reflect the light of the sun to us. Pnei Moshe Tipnei Cham. Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave us Torah from Hashem Yisborah, he was the sun. The light-giving sun. Yeshua is Talmid. What is a Talmid? What is a disciple? A disciple Tipnei Levon. The disciple is one who is able to reflect the light of his master, of his mentor. If he's able to do that, then he's a disciple. But if he feels that he has to be the wise guy, and he has to also create, he must also become a son, so he's no longer a disciple, and he can't be relied on. The Pagan Bishop tells us in Breshit that originally the moon was also a source of light. But the moon said, how is it possible for two kings to be king at the same time? That's what you're interested in. You'd like everything for yourself. So therefore you become small. And from now on you will reflect the light of the sun. From that you'll learn a lesson that a person is not to have vanity. You're not to want everything for yourself. How is that possible? You want everything for yourself? No. Realize that it's a wonderful thing to be able to serve as a reflection of the light of the great. That makes you great. Since this is Levono, and we count time according to Chodshe HaLevono, rather than according to Chodshe HaAmo, this is part and parcel of the lifeblood of the Jew, to feel his smallness in the presence of Almighty God. Our purpose is as the Levono, to reflect the light of Hashem Yisborach. Not to want to create our own, to realize that there is light in Hashem Yisborach more than enough. He's able to take care of his world. He doesn't need us to help him. Our job is to perform this task of being able to reflect this light of Hashem Yisborach. It's taught to us by the very fact that we count time according to Chodshe HaLevono. We are prepared to be as the Pnei Levono in the presence of the Pnei Chamo. Moshe is Pnei Chamo, Yeshua Pnei Levono. And that's the way it is down through the ages. The entire Messiah tradition of handing down Torah from age to age exists on this, that we never seek to create new Torahs. The Torah is the Torah as it was given by Hashem Yisborach on Sinai. To the extent that we seek to reflect that light, to the extent that we seek to live by that light, to perform what Torah wants us to perform, to that extent does it become a source of happiness and satisfaction in life. It gives us strength to overcome difficulties, difficult times, difficult situations. If we would think otherwise, if we would think that everything has to begin anew with us, we wouldn't be going too far. That's also something that we said in yesterday's Seder, in the Shira of the Yom, when we went through the Red Sea. We said there, Zekeli ve'anvei. We have seen before us the presence of my God. Zekeli ve'anvei. And I shall seek to beautify you. And Ke'ovi ba'rimenen. He is the God of my fathers, and I shall uplift him. So Chazal and Rashi mentions it. Chazal say, Loi ani tchilas hakdusha. We may sometimes lose ourselves. We have seen such great things. We have gone through such miraculous events. We have been able to walk through the waters of a sea by yaboyo v'seich hayom. We walked through dry land, and this was the sea just a moment ago. So we command all the forces of creation stand below us, and we command them, we stand above them. Zekeli v'anvei. But when is this so? if I realize el opi rather than me. Loyani chilas agdusha. It didn't start with me. It started with Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. And the fact that we are the sons and the descendants of these great forefathers of ours made it possible for us to be able to say Zekeli Dan Dehu. Were it not for the fact that we wouldn't be here today to be able to say Zekeli Dan Dehu. Again, we find here this concept, this idea. Tradition keeps us moving to the extent that we realize that things don't start with us. It's but for us to take what has been given to us and to live by it, to feel what lies within it, to see how great an individual can become if he is but willing to take over that tradition. That's also why Torah says, Merosho Yihilas Yaakov, that Torah is a Merosho for the congregation of Yaakov, not Yerusha. There's a vast difference. Yerusha means an inheritance. When a son inherits something, it becomes his. He's master over it. He can do with it what he wants. He can inherit millions, and it's his to be a fool to destroy it all, because it's his. Do with it what you want. That's an inheritance. A heritage is something different. It's yours only to guard, so that after you it'll go on to the next generation. Torah is a merosho. It's not a yerusha. We can't do with Torah what we want. We are the guardians of Torah. And this Torah must remain with us to go down to the next generation. It's midoyev, doyev. That's Torah. There were those down through the ages who made this terrible mistake. And they thought that Merosho is the same as Yerusha. And so they became masters over Torah, and they did with it what they wanted. What was left of them, what was left of the Zduki, and what is being left of the Reformed Jews in our day, who never have reached a stage where they feel that the only way that can keep themselves going is by declaring goyis to be Jews. Woe unto a cloudy soil that has to survive by declaring that a goy is also a Jew. Maze to a cloudy soil. How did this come into being? Because reform meant that they felt Torah is a Yerusha. And so we will decide what we want and what we don't want, what is suited for our age and what is not suited for our age. But this is wrong. Torah is not a Yerusha. Torah is a Merosho. And we must guard it as a heritage is to be guarded. We must fit ourselves to Torah. It's not our business to fit Torah to ourselves. Torah is far beyond what we are. And to the extent that we small humans can raise and elevate ourselves to the concepts of Torah, to that extent are we eternal as he who has given Torah. And we know that Hashem is Barak, he is not a tyrant. The Rebbeinu Shalom is not a tyrant. And if he says that Torah was meant for all generations and for all times, it means that he who has created all generations and created all times and all circumstances put into that Torah all that is necessary for all times and for all circumstances. And so the prayer that was lived by Moshe Rabbeinu in his day can be lived by Hashem in our day. And those that do so, those that live today by Torah, and don't seek to modify Torah to meet with their needs, but rather seek to modify their needs to live within the framework of a Torah life, they always testify to the fact that this is so. After all, the Jew, for instance, who observes a Shabbos, I think that he has an inner feeling of rachmonis for the Jew who doesn't have a Shabbos. And how can he explain it to him? You have to have the Shabbos in order to realize it. The Gemara tells us that. Tyrannus Rufus once said to the Bakhtimen, "Why is your Shabbos meal so delicious? Shalom is terrific. What makes it so delicious?" And the Bakhtimen said to him, "We have a spice, a specific spice that we put into the Shabbos food. That's what makes it delicious." So Tyrannus said to him, "What is that spice?" And he said, "Shabbos shmur." The name of the spice is Shabbos. So he said, "Give some of it to me." So he said, "I can." If you are a Jew, if you enter Zakat Kanfei Ashkine, then Shabbos is yours. But if you're not within the pale, you're outside of the boundary, there is no way to explain it to you. There's no way for you to understand what is the essence of this spice. The Jew, the Ben Torah, he who has been given and has received the Torah, he possesses that samin. He possesses that spice that's called Shabbos. There's no way to give it to someone else. He who does have it and feels the value of the Shabbos, feels what a menucha of Shabbos means, is a takarachmonis for those who don't live a Shabbos life. And so it is in every one of our taryak mitzvahs. For the Jew who lives by mitzvah, he doesn't need too much explanation. Living by the mitzvah carries within it the taste of the mitzvah. You live by Shabbos, so it carries the tshuva within itself. You don't need a chinuch for that. You don't need a reason of the Rambam and Meir Nevuchim. You need but live by it. All of these timings that are given by the Rishonim, many times even in Midrash Chazal, were given because we don't always rise to the proper heights. We don't always live in such manner that the living of a mitzvah should itself inspire us with the confidence of a mitzvah. So those who gave us the timing sought to inspire us with something that you would gain if you would live by this mitzvah. If you live by the mitzvah of Nilo, if you live by the mitzvah of Pilgrim and Rivet, and you don't look for all these systems of birth control to destroy progeny, you don't live by it. You don't have what the mitzvah contains within it. And so they sought to give us some understanding of what some of these mitzvahs contain for a Jew who is not living completely inspired by the mitzvah. But for one who lives totally enveloped and engrossed in the mitzvah itself, when he is asked, "What is the reason for it? Why?" "What do you mean, why? Ask me why I'm living. Can I give you a reason for that?" "Exactly. I have no reason for it. I feel it within my bones. For one who never lacks the vitality of life and we like to comfort him, you begin to speak to him and tell him and do these things and do those things and be able to achieve this and be able to achieve that. And sometimes it encourages him. It gives him an inspiration not to give up. I have so much yet to do. But one who is in the midst of living, he doesn't need all this business. Life itself is the greatest inspiration for living. And so so the Jew lives in such manner that Tere is our lifeblood. Tere is in itself length of our years. It would be as if we ask, why do you want to live? For that Jew is not necessary. But many, many of us, I include myself, we say it in the Davenant, but we don't feel that right to us. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We have various instances of what life means to us. And part of life is to serve mitzvahs, to speak there. But that's not what we mean when we say, we don't mean that part of life is the study of Torah. Part of life is the performance of mitzvah. We mean to say exactly what the word states. They are life. This is the very essence of life. We're so far removed from that concept that all of us, every one of us has so much to gain from a Sefer Achinu, from Ta'amim of an Eben Ezra, Ta'amim of a Rambam in the Hukim, Ta'amim of a Rav Sadia Gaon. There's so much to gain from it because we don't live actually feeling Heim Hayenu V'Eiret Yomenu. We say it. I think that we are my meaning, so we believe, we have faith that this is so. It couldn't be untrue. But what does it mean? What is this? From that we're very, very far removed. And so, to gain a taste in a mitzvah is so important for all of us. I think we pointed out the first time that we got together, and it has to be repeated so that we shouldn't forget it, that wonderful, wonderful illustration, the muscles of Rav Yeruchem, the Mashgiach in Nir, Tame HaMitzvahs. You have time in food also. It tastes good, so you eat it. But do you really live from taste? Is taste the nourishment? What happens when a person can't digest food, so he's given intravenous, and he lives from the food that's put into his veins? He has no taste in that food, but yet he lives from it. It's the food that gives nourishment, whether it tastes bitter, or it tastes sweet, or has no taste whatsoever. But time in food is a chesed Hashem. Hashem Yisborach had mercy upon us. And he created this time so that it would be pleasant for us to take nourishment. He wants us to live. And you can't live unless you take nourishment. Without time, we would find it difficult to take nourishment. So part of the chesed of the mercy of God upon his creatures is that he gave us time. And that makes it pleasant for us to want to take nourishment. So also said Rav Yeruchem, Dichle Rebroche, that's the way we should approach time in mitzvahs. Heim Chayenu, the time doesn't create the nourishment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah in itself is the nourishment. That's the spiritual food. the fact that Hashem is Bora said so, that makes it into food. That keeps us going. But we're not always ready. We're not always inspired. Es wird sich etwas nicht von dem Mitzvah. Es tut sich etwas mit dem Mitzvah. Even those who are observant Jews. So when you get a time, when a taste is given to it, then it becomes more pleasant. Und es tut sich die Mitzvah. And once you do it, you live and you are nourished. Not by the taste, not by what the chinuch tells us. That's not the power of the nourishment, but the mitzvah in itself. That which emerged from the mouth of a Hashem Yisbarach when he commanded us the mitzvah. That's the spiritual nourishment. Kishen sheho oichel mozoin leguf. Just as food is nourishment for the body, for the physical essence of man, so mitzvahs, hey, mozoin lenefesh, they are the food, the nourishment for the soul, spiritual nourishment for the individual. This is what mitzvah life for a Jew means. And so we should realize what an importance lies in this study of Sefer HaChinuch in what he calls Shoroshei HaMitzvahs. He calls the timing, the tastes, he calls them roots in the mitzvah. That in every mitzvah there are rooted things that mean so much for us. This is not the root of the mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't grow from these things. But Mishoroshe, within the mitzvah, there are contained shoroshim, there are contained roots, roots for the Jew to want to live by mitzvah. And every time he speaks of it, he'll never say, Shoyresh a mitzvah. Because he says, then for us to be able to realize and encompass all that is contained in a mitzvah, a mitzvah that ain't short, that comes from Hashem Yisbarach, who's without beginning and end. And everything that emerges from him is by nature must be the same, without beginning and end. So he never speaks of Shoyresh HaMitzvah. He always speaks of Mishoroshei HaMitzvah. From among the Shoroshim, I'm going to pick something for us to study. That's the way the Chinuch speaks about these things. But there's so much more. He has his Shoyresh. He never mentions the Rambam Shoyresh. He never mentions the Sanhedrin Shoyresh. He doesn't mention the Ben Ezra Shoyresh. That's more and more and more. He mentions just the Shoroshim that he talks about. And in his introduction, he spoke there about the fact that for whom did he write it? He wrote it for his young son. So that Shabbos, when the Torah is read, he shouldn't run around in shul wild. That's what he said to the Akdomet. We today are youngsters, even in old age. We'd also run around wild. And so we need to have Mishoroshim. And Mishoroshim attach us to a mitzvah. It makes us feel how beautiful it is, how wonderful it is, to put this nourishment into ourselves and reach a little closer to what we say when we daven in that Birkas Krishma, Ki Heim Chayim, the Erech Yomim. And we should always emphasize the Heim. Not Ki Heim Chayim the Erech Yomeinu. But do you know what life is? Heim Chayim the Erech Yomeinu. That's the way we have to emphasize it. There's a difference. If you run past the Heim and you say to him, Hayel Erech Yomeinu, that's the way we live. But the Bracha says differently. You know what life is? You're interested in life? Heim Hayeinu! These mitzvahs, they are life. They are the length of days. And in order, in a small way, to gain some taste for this fuse, this life of Torah and of mitzvah, that's the purpose of the Sefer HaChinuch. For that he wrote his work. Everything that's been written on the Enoch involves the being that he mentions. There has never yet been written a work on the Enoch about the Shoroshi, about the time in Hamishra that he speaks of. And I've always, down through the years, been so impressed with his timing. They are so simple and yet so beautiful. It doesn't call for deep philosophical thought. It's so close to the mind and heart of a Jew. And that's why I felt that a class on a Sunday morning in Chinuch would add a great deal to our appreciation of being Torah Jews. The next mitzvah that we will study is not one mitzvah. There are going to be quite a heap of mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs that have to do with Chag HaPesach, Mazel, Korban Pesach, Moreh, all of these dinim of the Pesach. And at the very end of all of them, the Chinuch has a long discussion to give us the time of all those mitzvahs. There, when he discusses that, we get a new concept in what is freedom, what is redemption. And so next week I have to be in New York. The week following, in Yitz Hashem, we will go through the mitzvahs as mitzvahs until the final one of all the mitzvahs of the Pesach, where there he speaks at length about what the shoresh of that mitzvah, of all those mitzvahs is. And the Yitz Hashem is going to precede before we'll sit down at the Seder this year. So I hope that after having learned the time of the Chinuch, these mitzvahs, our Seder Pesach, will have much more beauty and much more inspiration for us. I think that the Seder Pesach, without the Chinuch, with the Chinuch, is a very inspiring evening. But with the Chinuch, it'll be much more inspiring than the Chinuch.